We're going to bring Chris in onto screen now, and we're going to pray for him as he brings God's word to us. The reading is from Exodus 16, so I encourage you to grab a Bible or on your screen or computer and have a look at that. But Chris, let me pray for you and pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is life, that your word is a guide to our hearts and minds. And Father, I pray that as Chris speaks to us now, that you would speak to each one of us, that we would hear your voice directing us, knowing the way to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Chris. Over to you.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to be with you this morning, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. My name's Chris, and I'm a part of the team here at Christ Church. And if you've been with us in the last number of weeks, and I think as Ruthie said, maybe 7 weeks now, you'll know that we've been in a series of teaching which we've called Guided by the Fire. And we're taking some time in the Exodus story to journey with the Israelites, God's people, through their unknown season and their unfamiliar place as they leave Egypt and head towards the promised land. And as we find ourselves in our own global unknown season and unfamiliar place, we're really believing that God is wanting to bring his guidance and his light and the fire of his presence to us as we journey together through this. So if you find yourself in a muddle of anything right now, please know that God is right there in the middle with you, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Today, our journey with God's people takes us into Exodus chapter 16. And it's an honestly amazing portion of scripture. I absolutely love it. And there's honestly so much that we could talk about today. And I'm going to do my best to remain disciplined in what I sense God has asked me to communicate with you today. Luckily, we are in this chapter again next week, so we can always do more in it. I wonder if you can relate to that feeling at some point in your life of really wanting something but not actually needing it. Or maybe you've even convinced yourself to have something that you thought you needed, but actually you just really wanted it. I've been reflecting on that a little bit this week, because I think on reflection, I think I probably do this quite a lot. I remember this particular time a couple of years ago when this happened. And for those of you who don't know me very well, my birthday is very close to Christmas. Quick shout out to those of you who have that dilemma or that struggle of the proximity between your birthday and Christmas. What that means for me is that I often try and combine my Christmas and birthday presents together so I can get maybe something a little bit more special. It's also worth noting that I'm notoriously difficult to buy presents for. Helena, if you speak to Helena, my wife, about this, she will absolutely let you know that I am notoriously hard to buy presents for. Anyway, so a couple of years ago, what I decided that I really needed or wanted was a smartwatch. And I thought it would be a really good thing to have. I thought it would be perfect. It would help me to do a load of important things that I really, really needed to do. And I thought about it a long time, and I ended up getting this particular thing, which was relatively expensive, and I had it for 24 hours. And I'd been visiting with my mum and dad, and I was driving back, having had this thing for 24 hours. I drove back in the car, and the journey was about 45 minutes long. And during that time, what happened to me in my heart was I discovered that this thing that I convinced myself that I needed, I actually just wanted, and I didn't need it at all. And over the 45 minutes of that journey, I'd gone from having this particular thing to actually coming to the conclusion that I needed to actually get rid of it again and take it back, and because I didn't need it at all. And please hear me, if you are an owner of a smartwatch or an expensive watch, I'm not getting at that at all. This is just about what God was doing in me and in my heart. So if you own one of those things, bless you, it's absolutely nothing to do with that at all. But I discovered that what I wanted, I actually didn't need at all. And this is obviously a really silly material example of this. And I believe that God is extravagant in his generosity towards us. I believe that he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. But one thing I've been reflecting on this week, I guess, is how much the Bible talks about giving us what we want and how much the Bible talks about God giving us what we need. And I believe that God is interested in the things that we want and the desires of our hearts, like I've just said. But I think I believe that God is more invested in the things that we need, that he wants to provide for our needs. And that maybe, and this is what I feel like God wants to do with us this morning, maybe, is that our perspective on need just needs to be adjusted slightly. Because our perspective on need is often founded and based on the idea of the bare minimum, or maybe it's just about surviving. Actually, I believe that God's perspective on meeting our need is more than that. It's actually about him filling us and supplying us with our every need and being satisfied, being fully satisfied by him. And we're going to discover a bit more about that over the course of our morning. So the title of my message in our series, Guided by the Fire, the title of my message this morning is very simply, Enough is Enough. Enough is Enough. As we join the Israelites in their journey at the beginning of chapter 16, they're somewhere between a month and 6 weeks into their journey, which is interesting, is it? Because we can relate to that time scale being 6 or 7 weeks into our journey. And I wonder if there's some interesting parallels for us in the passage this morning. If you've got your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them up to chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. We're going to read a few verses together, and then I'll continue with a few thoughts. Chapter 16. Says this: the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into the desert, this desert, to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. The verses go on and describe what happens as the Lord rains down bread from heaven and provides for the people of Israel. Verses 14 through to 18 go on and talk about how the flakes of frost appear on the ground. And this is the bread that God provides for his people. And the Israelites see it, and God speaks to Moses and tells Moses exactly what the Israelites are supposed to do. And so they go and gather up their bread from the ground, and they gather as much as they need. Verse 15 says this: when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they needed. As much as they need. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. One of the things that I believe that God is doing in our own unknown place and unfamiliar season, one of the things I believe he's doing right now is moving us from a place of want to a place of need. Moving us from a place of want to a place of need. One of the reflections that the Israelites give in their grumbling towards Moses and Aaron at the beginning of that chapter that we've just read, they say, we sat around pots of meat in Egypt and we ate all the food we wanted. We sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food. We had all the food we wanted. I wonder if we, as we look back on our lives pre-lockdown, what our equivalent pots of meat might be, where we had everything we wanted and we could just grab it and get it. And it was all there accessible to us. I wonder what those things might mean to you. I thought about one of my pots of meat might be, and a silly example maybe, but one of the things that I often like to do is to sit in a favorite coffee shop and sit with great people and drink great coffee. And so I'm like equivalent to this. I'm like, I sat around tables with great people eating drinking great coffee and having as much as I wanted. I wonder what your pot of meat would look like. We've had a season of having everything we wanted, and yet I believe right now God is moving us from a place of want to a place of need. Israel reflect that they had all they wanted in this moment back in Egypt. But this moment here in Exodus 16 represents to us one of the great transitions of their journey. How do we know this? Well, the gathering of manna in verses 13 to 17, the freshly provided bread from heaven, is all based on need. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Verse 18 says that everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Why did God choose to lead them this way? And why is this relevant for us right now? I believe this is so relevant for us right now. I guess there are a bunch of reasons God would have chosen to lead the people in this way. But one of the reasons, I suppose, is that one of the things that's true here is that it's really hard to cultivate a depth of trust and dependency on God when you have everything you want. It can be really hard to do that. And one of the things that I believe God is doing in moving us from a time of want to a time of need is he's helping us to trust him more fully, to exercise more fully our dependency on him, and that he wants to be and ultimately can be the most satisfying, most fulfilling thing in our lives. That when God says enough, it is enough. Enough is enough in God's economy. And I believe that God wants to restore to us the ancient principle that we've just prayed about in the Lord's Prayer, that he can be our daily provider, the daily provider of our needs. I wonder if one of the things that you want right now is clarity for the future, or more clarity for the future. I remember saying recently in church, just before we left church, that one of the things I've discovered about myself is that I really love clarity. Clarity can often be an idol for me. I love to be clear on what's happening in the future and on and on. It's really helpful for me. And yet what we read later on in this chapter, that as the people gather the bread from heaven, the manna, as they call it, God says, you can't keep it. You can't keep it except on the sixth day. You can't keep hold of it. And some of the people try to keep hold of it into the next day. And the bread begins to rot and it begins to smell and it begins to go off. In the desert, you see, what they tried to keep hold of from today was rotten by tomorrow. What they tried to keep hold of today was rotten by tomorrow. I wondered as I was preparing this, if for any of us that were listening today, whether we were keeping some hold of some things from yesterday or even today, or maybe it's last week or last month. You're just keeping hold of some stuff in your life and it's starting to go off a bit and it's starting to smell and it's getting all rotten. And what God is saying to you this morning is it's time to let go. It's time to trust him. It's time to be more fully dependent on him as the provider of your needs. Enough is enough. As I said right at the beginning, I had this sense this morning that one of the things that God was asking us to do was to adjust our perspective on need. There's this word that appears in this chapter of Exodus, and it appears twice. And it appears once in verse 8 and once in verse 12. It's actually translated in the English into two different words, but it's actually the same word. In verse 8, it says that the people will have all the bread they want. Okay, that's the word, want. They have all the bread that they want. And in verse 12, it says that the people will be filled. That's the word, filled with bread in the morning. It's the same word in the original language, want and filled. They will be filled with bread in the morning. This literally means the word here, which is the same word for both words. This word literally means to get enough. To get enough, to be filled to satisfaction. It even means to be supplied abundantly. And the gathering of manna, which is all based on need, they gathered as much as they needed. They gathered as much as they needed. They are told that they will be filled with bread in the morning. Based on their need, they will be filled, which means to get enough. They will have enough. I said right at the beginning that I felt that often our perspective on need is often based on the bare minimum. It's based on just survival. And I know that that is true for some people. And it can often feel like that's really true. But I wonder whether God wants to adjust our perspective on need this morning, because I'm not sure that's how Jesus saw need. I'm not sure he just saw it as the bare minimum, as just survival. As I said, we've just prayed together that amazing prayer that Jesus taught his friends to pray, which has that line in it, "Give us today our daily bread," which harks back to this chapter right here in Exodus. How did Jesus approach worry in Matthew 6? He talks about, in this chapter, a much higher perspective of need. He talks about not worrying about our life, not worrying about the food we eat or the clothes we'll wear. Our Father in heaven knows exactly what we need, is what Jesus says. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom and all this stuff will be added to you. What Jesus does here is he shifts our perspective on need away from worldly material stuff and onto a much higher need, which is our eternal salvation and our eternal spiritual need. That's what he turns our perspective towards. He's like, don't worry about all this stuff over here. Your Father knows that you need it. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and all this stuff will be added to you. We need not worry about all this stuff, but instead focus our attention on his kingdom. For God to be the ultimate supplier of our need, I believe that our perspective needs to change with regards to material stuff and worldly stuff, but also with regards to our eternal and spiritual need. It's not just about the bare minimum. It's not just about survival. When God talks about filling his people with bread from heaven, it's about that they would have enough, which also means that they would be filled to satisfaction, that they will be filled to satisfaction. I believe this morning that for many of us who will be in need in many different ways, and you will know people that are in need in many different ways, I believe this morning that there's an encouragement for us that God wants to reveal himself deeply as our ultimate provider, not just as our ultimate provider, but the one that can truly satisfy us, the one that can fulfill us, and that he actually can be our greatest need. He can be our greatest need. Some of you this morning will be sat there and you'll relate to that phrase even, enough is enough. That phrase might even be speaking to you this morning in loads of different ways. God might be saying something about what's going on in your life right now. He might be saying, hey, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I believe there's a lot of encouragement for us in that this morning. There's these amazing verses in the book of Philippians. And, you know, I believe that just as Jesus had a different perspective on need, I think Paul, who writes this letter to the Philippians, also had a different perspective of need. And I want to read a few verses to you from Philippians chapter 4. And they say this. Paul writes, I greatly rejoice in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he writes this famous verse, I can do all this through him who strengthens me, who gives me strength. I can do this, all of this through him who strengthens me. I believe this morning that the Lord would love to strengthen some people. I believe that he would like to strengthen you in your time of need. And I believe that he would love to adjust your perspective on need. That just as Jesus talked to his friends about the nature of worry and moving and shifting our worries away from this worldly stuff and material food and possessions and clothes and all of that stuff, just as Jesus said to shift that away, but to seek first his kingdom. Paul writes here, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be full. I know what it is to have enough. And I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be content in all things because It is through him, through Jesus, through the Lord, I can do it because of him who gives me the strength to do it. And so I pray for you this morning in your time of need, whatever you're facing, that you would know the Lord as your provider and that you would know him being the one who can supply you with enough, which means not just the bare minimum, but to be filled and to be satisfied by him. He wants to be the ultimate satisfaction in your life. What we're going to do is we're going to worship just for a couple of minutes together. And then I've got some specific things that I want us to pray for as we come back. So I'm going to invite Sophie just to come in at this point. And she's going to lead us in a song. And in that song, you can sing along with it. If you want to, you can worship. Obviously, you can pray and reflect as you do that as well. And let's just take a moment to pray right now, just as Sophie leads us. Father, thank you that you are enough. Thank you that you want to be the ultimately satisfying thing in our lives. Thank you that you provide us with enough. Thank you that in this time where we maybe don't have everything we want, you're going to give us everything that we need. And I pray that even in these next few moments, you'd be meeting with people and speaking to people. We bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're going to worship just for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to come back and just pray for us specifically. So over to you, Sophie, for a couple of minutes. Thank you so much, Sophie. What I want to do for a couple of seconds is pray really specifically. I know we're a little over our normal time. Sometimes for me, I have these little niggles that happen in the back of my mind and my heart as I'm running up to things like this. And sometimes for me, I'll have these little nudges to pray for specific things or specific people. Just over the last 48 hours or so, as I've been thinking about being with you this morning, I've had two names in my head, and what I want to do is just mention those names and pray specifically for those people, which may or may not be relevant and may or may not be right in terms of what God's saying. I'm just going to go with that because I sense that's what God's asking me to do, and then I want to pray much more broader. So the two names that I have in my head and my heart over the last 48 hours are Penelope and Roger. And so there may be someone watching now called Penelope or Roger. There may be someone watching on catch up that is called Penelope or Roger. But there also may be someone that you know that might relate to this particular need or this particular prayer. And when we were praying before the gathering, we had this sense, Sophie had this sense that one of the things God was wanting to share with us, that he'll never let us go, that he'll never let us go. And that even though things, for some of us get disappointing or we've experienced great disappointment, he's never going to let you go. And I wanted just to speak that out because I think that's going to be relevant for some people. But I wondered for those two names that I've mentioned, Penelope and Roger, whether that is particularly relevant. And so I want to pray for you first, and then we'll pray broadly for the rest of our community before Neil comes back and wraps up. So let's just pray together for a moment. Father, we pray this morning for Penelope, and we pray for Roger. And we pray, Father, that whatever it is that you would like to do in their lives this morning, that you would do it. Whatever you would like to say and speak to them, that you would do it. But I thank you for that word, that you will never let them go. That even though they may have suffered a great disappointment or been through great trial, that you will never let them go. And we pray your blessing over them this morning. And Father, for our community as a whole this morning, we thank you that enough is enough. We thank you, God, that when you say it's enough, it's enough. And I pray, God, that you would help cultivate in us over the coming days and the coming weeks a deeper trust in you, that you can be the provider of our needs, that we don't need to hold on to all the stuff from yesterday or before that's rotting away, that we can actually let it go and trust that you will keep providing for our daily needs. Thank you that you are the provider of our daily needs. We trust you today, and we ask that you would help us to be more dependent on you over the coming days and the coming weeks. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The final thing I'll say, just as Neil comes back, is that I sense that that phrase, enough is enough, might also speak to some of you who are dealing with specific situations right now. And actually, the word of God to you this morning might be, actually, enough is enough, as in that phrase, it's time to stop something. Enough is enough. And so I believe that that phrase works both ways. So if you find yourself in a situation this morning and you sense that, that God is asking that of you, enough is enough, then do get in contact with us. We'd love to connect with you and pray with you as well. And you can always email us on our stories@ccweb.org.uk email address. Also, if your name's Penelope or Roger and you'd like to get in touch to pray specifically, do let us know as well. Neil, why don't you come back and just wrap things up for us?